Rock the Lakefront June 13th and 14th as Racine Harbor Fest returns for two unforgettable days of live music, mouthwatering food, and nonstop fun. Advance tickets $8, VIP tickets still available online at RacineHarborFest.com.
They're on board. Tari and Small reports it comes after a White House visit today.
Chip Roy and other members of the Freedom Caucus are begging the speaker to consider pushing the timeline back a bit so more of these conversations could happen.
President Trump hosted South Africa's president today, insisting that white farmers in that country are being killed.
White South Africans are fleeing because of the violence and racist laws.
Allegations South Africa denies. A federal judge says the White House violated a court order on deportations to third countries with the flight that may be transporting migrants to South Sudan. The Justice Department is investigating Andrew Cuomo, former governor of New York, now running for mayor. Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
Mr. Cuomo's spokesperson called this warfare and a politically charged investigation.
The Dow is off more than 800 points. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Milwaukee parents are demanding suspensions and firings after an investigation revealed students and adults made racially charged remarks at a Racine County track meet. The controversy earlier this month forced the Milwaukee Rufus King team to leave the meet early. Officials with Waterford Union High School have since apologized, pledging to retrain event staff. The findings of the students and adults using racial language was the result of a joint investigation between both high schools. The line has been up for a year already. Jimmy Koska has more about an observation this week.
It's been 1 year since the Amtrak Borealis train began service. The daily line launched on May 21st of last year. Its service takes it between the Twin Cities and Chicago. Initial estimates for the line before it was open were for about 155,000 passengers per year. But in its first year, the Borealis line has served over 212,000 riders through last month.
In addition to the starting and end points in the Twin Cities and Chicago, the line also has stops in Milwaukee, the Dells, and Sturtevant. Milwaukee's health department is pushing back against statements from HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He said federal teams are aiding the city's response to lead paint hazards in schools. City officials clarify that no such federal support has been provided. The city continues to address the lead emergency without the CDC's childhood lead poisoning experts, who were laid off in recent federal cuts. Milwaukee baseball fans are in for a new at-home viewing experience. FanDuel Sports Network is bringing a high-tech wirecam system to American Family Field. The aerial camera captures unique angles of stadiums and is similar to the over-the-field cameras during NFL games. It'll be seen on FanDuel Brewer broadcasts through mid-June. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Brewers surrender to the Orioles. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, Milwaukee's Caleb Durbin tied it up in the ninth, but top of the 11th, the Orioles' Adley Rutschman drove the ball deep into left field on the Orioles TV network.
He didn't get a great jump off of first base. Get up, ball.
Deep to left, Adley Rutschman toward the wall.
Yeah.
Brewers running out of arms at the end of the game. Trevor McGill, Tyler Alexander ended up losing 8-4 today at AmFam Field. The crew missing out on the sweep, but winning the series 2-1. The Orioles snapping an 8-game losing streak. Up next, the crew heads to Pittsburgh for a 4-game weekend series against the Pirates. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy for tonight. Some showers linger in areas of drizzle with lows in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, highs in the mid-50s. And upper 50s for Friday and Saturday, and mostly sunny. It's 46 right now.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The announcement by Republicans that they are removing 612 items from Governor Evers' proposed budget. Free school breakfast and lunches, extra money for PFAS monitoring. We've only scratched the surface of some 600 ideas investing in education, protecting consumers, and every one of those things is going to be taken out this week when Republicans meet to form their own budget.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, habeas corpus. Jim Santel will explain why that's important. We'll also talk all things sports and learn about the weekend weather. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitler.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a man barely 6 feet tall, but a mountain of muscle, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. It is a Wednesday night. We are headed toward a holiday weekend. Very excited about that. And got a great show tonight. Lots of fun tonight. We're going to talk about an art festival in Door County and a lot of other stuff. Some travel Wisconsin stuff too tonight, Conrad. What do you think about that?
I think that's great.
You know, it's weird. Like, you kind of want to travel the world, and there's a lot of places I still want to see. But when I talked to Logan Rogge, who is our guest in the second hour, I realized there's so much stuff just in Wisconsin I haven't seen that I want to check out. And I always make a list after I talk to Logan. So he'll be here at 7:35. And then, but before that, coming up at 6:35, we have an in-studio guest named Shane McAdams. He's an artist, and he is the director of the Door County Contemporary Art Festival, which is right around the corner. So we'll get all the details from Shane. He's going to be here live. And then we've got my pal Bruce Jarko is going to be here at 7:05 to talk about his good friend George Wendt, who passed away yesterday. We'll talk a little bit about George's career, and Bruce will share some memories. That will be a lot of fun. That's at 7:05. We'll talk to Bruce for a few minutes. So, yeah, it's crazy how much this guy, George Wendt, was just so well-liked. I mean, I'm reading all this stuff he, by all accounts, is just like the most down-to-earth, cool dude. And but we'll talk to Bruce about that and get some insight. Bruce has been on the show before. Bruce is a great actor. Also a Second City trained, like George Wendt is. I assume that's where they met, but I'll ask Bruce that. Bruce was on Seinfeld like 3 times. He's like in this club of people who have done that show as different walk-on roles 3 times, I think 3 times. And his most memorable one appearance was as a doctor when George went in to have the thing in his lip looked at. George says, "Cancer? Is it cancer?" And Bruce is, my favorite line, Bruce says, "Well, I don't know what it is." So I always crack up when I see that. So Bruce will be here at 7:05. That'll be fun too. Lots going on. A little George Wendt talk, some art talk, and some travel Wisconsin talk, folks. That's a show. And we've got a great question tonight. Lots of fun topics we will explore. Why don't we get to the, should we get to the question, Conrad? What do you think? Let's do that.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Who is your favorite TV or movie badass? That's a question, folks. Who is your favorite TV or movie badass? It's funny. The first one that comes to mind for me is Sugar, played by Javier Bardem in No Country for Old Men. Maybe the creepiest guy ever in a movie. But I also liked Michael Fassbender in a movie called The Killer. He plays an assassin who screws up and has to race home before those that gave him the contract kill his wife. Kind of a slick assassin type. I don't know. There are so many ways you could go with this. And a badass doesn't have to be a bad guy. I just pick Chigurh because I love that movie so much. Josh Brolin plays the protagonist in No Country for Old Men, and he's a badass. So, lots of things to, lots of characters to choose from. Conrad, you got one?
Yeah, Joe Dirt.
If you say Joe Dirt one more time on this show, I am going to send your ass packing down Washington Street, buddy. Where did this obsession for you and Joe Dirt come?
It's just,
I just like to say Joe Dirt.
Because it's a terrible movie.
Well, I would and it assume shouldn't, so.
Yeah.
David Spade is the lead actor, funny as he is.
I mean, he's made some fun movies, but...
He's great in Tommy Boy.
Yeah, his younger stuff, I would say, is better than his... Well, I guess Joe Dirt's kind of young him, but yeah. It's past it, you know.
Do you have an actual badass, favorite badass?
Yeah. Come back to me. This is tough. I've been trying to decide this since I saw the question today.
All right. You've got Jules from Pulp Fiction, Samuel Jackson. Die Hard, Bruce Willis. Oh, Michael Corleone, John Wick. Lots of good ones.
You know, okay. This might be because I love these movies. And he's the main character. And he's a badass in all movies.
Who is it?
Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones.
True.
Or in Harrison Ford as Han Solo.
Yeah, no, he's definitely that guy. Uma Thurman in Kill Bill. Awesome.
That's a great one.
Yeah. Great movie. There's a ton of people to choose from. So have fun with this one, folks. Let us know who your favorite badass is for movies or TV. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app. Very easy to use. We're on statewide, so just click next to the station you're listening to and fire away. And you can also text us if you're watching the radio on the stream at X, YouTube, or Facebook. Let us know, and we will read your text on the radio. Yeah, I'm going to stick with Chigurh, I think. I love that movie. It's one of those movies I absolutely cannot turn off. Lots going on, though. Tony Goldwyn has a birthday today. He was in my film, The Godfather of Green Bay. It was a pleasure to direct Tony Goldwyn. And Tony Goldwyn is MGM Goldwyn, Metro Goldwyn Mayer. Samuel Goldwyn was his grandfather. So he is truly Hollywood royalty, and he never took it for granted. I've never met a more down-to-earth guy than when he was on the set of The Godfather of Green Bay. You know, I'm just this guy making a movie in my hometown of Marinette, Wisconsin, and he would come up to me after every take. How was that? How was the accent? How was my acting? Like, truly a professional actor who respected the director's opinion, and I don't know that I had earned that. That was the first film I had directed, and only film, for that matter. And he just could not have been a more professional guy and a phenomenal actor. So happy birthday, Tony Goldwyn. Timothy Olyphant has a birthday today. That's a show we haven't really talked about on this program is Justified. Great show. Like 7 seasons of it, too. And Timothy Olyphant is great in it. And Jimmy Stewart has a birthday today. You heard of Jimmy Stewart, Conrad?
Yes, I've heard of his work.
He's done well for himself. We have a phone call?
Yes, we do. It's Greg from Waukesha.
Hey, Greg. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too. So, favorite movie badass has to be Julia Roberts in the movie The Blind Side and even in Aaron Brockovich. More of a badass in The Blind Side, though, but, but Julia Roberts has to be my favorite movie badass.
That's a great badass. Yeah. And that was a great role, Aaron Brockovich, because Aaron Brockovich was a badass, right?
Yes, it was. Yeah. She was. Yep. So
great call, Greg. Thank you so much. And don't be a stranger. It's good to hear from you, dude.
Yeah, good to hear from you too, Pete.
All right, bye-bye. Take care, Greg. Greg from Waukesha. We haven't heard from Greg in a while. It was great.
Yeah.
So other big news, the tush push stays.
Yes.
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah. And,
nor should it.
The Eagles posted a video. It's like 25 minutes of all tush pushes on their YouTube.
They should. They revolutionized something. Like Devin Hester changed the kickoff rule. That was more for safety, too. And I'm all about protecting players. I don't want the game to go away, so protect them however you have to do for us to keep football because I like watching it so much. But the tush push. Oh, we don't like this. That's a play. It's hard to stop. Yeah, the whole game is hard. Stop it. Figure out a way to stop it. Don't outlaw it. I'm glad it's staying. Because they'll design something that will stop it.
They have to. I mean, you got to think in the camps this year, there's going to be like, all right, guys, how do we stop this?
Right.
And they just got to workshop it, you know?
And he's got, you know, what's his name? Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
I don't even know that he needs a push. The guy can squat like 4,000 pounds. He's probably not stopping that anyway.
And then you also got Saquon, who can do the same.
Right.
And now they just added A.J. Dillon. So
yeah,
that's a quad backfield right there.
Absolutely. And I saw that Brock Purdy, Mr. What are they
called? Irrelevant.
Mr. Irrelevant signed a five-year, $265 million extension. Did he earn that, Conrad? Or not? Did he even earn it? He got it. He earned it. I give
him
that.
Yes.
But is he worth it? Would you have paid that for Brock Purdy? I would not have.
I wouldn't have, but I'm not an NFL owner. So to keep him from leaving, keep him satisfied, keep him their franchise quarterback.
You got to
do
it.
And I mean, I can see the Texans doing this with CJ Stroud in a couple of years too.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. I don't begrudge. Like, good for Brock Purdy. That's a great story. I was thoroughly surprised, though, when I saw that. Hey, is it weird to mess with people on when you get these texts from people that try to engage you in conversation?
Weird to mess with them?
Well, I feel like if they're going to mess with me, if they're going to randomly text me and act like they know me, they're obviously after something. I assume it's money. But I started messing with them. There was this girl. She started sharing pictures. Not anything weird. Just, hey, how you been? And I'm like, great. So I try to keep the conversation going. Kind of like I did with Sofia Coppola.
Yes.
That didn't really go anywhere. So I thought I started having this conversation with this woman, quote, bot, whatever it is. And I thought, oh, I'll do this. I'll read it on the show. But I got to be honest. It started boring me. I told her my name was Tristan.
There you go.
And she's like, it would be very mundane stuff. Like, where are you from, Tristan? This and that. And I painted this picture of myself so they would keep texting me. I said, you know, well, I'm very wealthy and my wife is leaving me and I know she's going to take half. But I want to take care of. Oh, I painted this whole. I'm a writer, dude. I painted this whole story. I told her. She said, you seem down. I said, well, I'm having a penis reduction next week and I'm nervous about it.
Okay.
And I just kept pushing. And she would not leave me. She kept texting. Like, they're obviously, I wanted them to think I have money. So they would keep, you know, pushing. Because I want to see what their motivation was.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I got bored. And now she can't, like, as of a week ago, goes, Tristan, are you okay? You're worrying me because I wasn't responding. I don't know what to do. It's so invasive. And it should be, it's probably illegal on some level, but it's no different really than telemarketers. I like to mess with telemarketers too. Although that was years ago. I don't even pick up the phone anymore. And it's mostly boredom. I just want to entertain myself, you know. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. All right. So we got that going. We got a great show tonight, folks. Our question of the night one more time is, who's your favorite movie or TV badass? We will read those texts coming up after a very short break. And Logan Rogge is here. Our pal Logan Rogge is here in the second hour. I will take a quiz. Logan is going to give me a quiz. It's not lengthy. But he's going to give me a quiz and see how I do. It's called, what is it called? Fact or Fest, right? No, Fiction or Fest.
Yes.
Okay. So I'll play that. Because we usually give the quizzes around here. But Logan's bringing a quiz. That'll be fun. Bruce Jarko is here at 7:05. The great actor Bruce Jarko to talk about his buddy Norm, George Wendt. And Shane McAdams is here tonight. So this is a fun, fun show, folks. You are here in a great night. Let us know what your answer to the question is. We'll read those when we come back. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Listen for This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast presentation from 540 WAUK.
Hey, it's Downtown Donnie Brown. On This Week in Waukesha, we are acting locally, thinking globally with Ron Gulata of UWM Waukesha as they talk about Corby's Last Roar, a celebration of UWM Waukesha's 58 years of service to our community before they close in June of this year.
To hear the show, go to WAUKradio.com and search for This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast from WAUK.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The New Hampshire Senate killed a bill requiring absentee voters to include copies of citizenship documents when requesting or returning absentee ballots. In a separate court case in April, voters challenged the state's proof of citizenship law for in-person registration. For decades, a prospective New Hampshire voter could provide documents to prove domicile and U.S. citizenship when registering to vote, or when those documents weren't available, use a sworn affidavit under penalty of fines or imprisonment. Under that system, there has never been any evidence of widespread non-citizen voting in New Hampshire. Then in 2024, New Hampshire became one of the first states to further restrict its proof of citizenship rules. It ended use of affidavits entirely, requiring voters to provide documentary birth certificate, U.S. passport, naturalization papers, or other documents proving citizenship to register. No documents, no voting. HB 217 went even further, requiring absentee ballot users, including nursing home and homebound voters, to provide those documents with their absentee requests and ballots. Fortunately for Grandma, the bill was killed May 15th. April 23rd, arguments by pro-voter groups were heard in federal district court in an effort to strike down the 2024 proof of citizenship law after dozens were turned away in local elections earlier this year. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Great to have you with me on this Wednesday evening. I'll tell you, we're off. We're putting a show together for Friday. It's going to be all original, but I won't be here. I have to take some time off for a family friend who passed away earlier last week. So it's going to be a great show. We're still doing Bar Band Friday and got great guests. Who do we have on Friday?
Well,
I'll pull up the sheet here because that's going to be a big show.
Terry Barr is...
Of course, Terry Barr will be here. Michael Collins, the director. This week, folks, my classic movie pick of the week is a film called Almost Sunrise, about two veterans who hike across America. The director, Michael Collins, will be here to talk about that on Friday. And then WGBW's very own Eliza Cousin will be here, the newest member of our team. And, of course, Terry Barr. So that's Friday. So this feels like where I'm going with this, Conrad, is this feels like a Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
So, I don't know. Feels good. All right, we have a phone call.
Yes, we do.
Let's take that call. Who do we have?
Richard from Waukesha.
Richard, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I got a good movie. It's a good layback, dark comedy, and some good humor.
Love it.
Situational. It's Paul Newman in a movie called I'm Nobody's Fool.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You heard of that one?
I have. I saw it years and years ago. I thought you were going.
Oh, it's just
given the question, I thought you were going to say Cool Hand Luke for badass. But he's a badass in everything.
Oh, this is just a good piece. You know, this is just a decent movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Melanie Griffith is in it too, right?
Who?
I think it's Melanie Griffith. Yeah. Yeah, I saw that years ago.
Yeah, and the acting is very well done.
That's fantastic.
So
yeah, great suggestion. Thank you so much.
Popcorn and your soda and lay back.
Absolutely. Thank you for the call, buddy. Have a great night, Richard. Thanks so much. You're welcome.
Okay. Bye.
Nobody's Fool. Kind of forgot about that movie. It's been about probably 25, 30 years since I've seen it, but maybe worth a rewatch. All right. Our question tonight is, who is your favorite movie or TV badass? We got some great responses on social media. Kurt Krause says, Sam Elliott as Wade Garrett in Roadhouse. Oh, that's a good one. Sarah Jean says, Katniss Everdeen. Yes, that's a great one too, Sarah Jean. Thank you. From The Hunger Games, of course. What do you think of that name, Katniss? That's pretty badass.
It sounds like catnip.
It does, but it's not. Catnip is not badass. Katniss is badass.
There we go.
Yeah. Matt Harper says, David LaBrava as Happy in Sons of Anarchy. I got to be honest. I have not seen much of Sons of Anarchy, even though our pal Jamie McShane was a regular on the show. He's been on the show a few times. He played an Irish gunrunner who met an a tragic fate, like many people on Sons of Anarchy do. But I got to give the show a watch. I only watch Jamie's episodes. I hear it's great. Thank you, Matt. Good to hear from you, buddy. Monica Hale says, John Malkovich in Red with his comic paranoia and stockpile of weapons. John Malkovich is pretty badass in anything. Great one, Monica. Daniel Wheeler says, Mike Ehrmantraut. This might be the winner of the night. Jonathan Banks played Mike in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. And Daniel calls him a great anti-hero, and that is a really good way to describe Mike. Great character. And I love that he's an old guy, too, and he's a badass. But I agree with Richard. Now, I think Richard was just calling in to give a suggestion, but Paul Newman, he was so great in The Sting and Cool Hand Luke. Great movie badass. Going to the text line here. Do you have one yet?
Yeah, I said.
You still thinking?
No, Indiana Jones.
Oh, Indiana Jones, right. That's better than Joe Dirt.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. Steve from Florida says, hands down, all-time favorite movie badass is Clint Easthouse. Conrad's laughing at you, Steve. We know you meant Clint
Eastwood. He still doesn't know how to type.
Easthouse. It would be tough. Like, Eastwood is a badass name. Easthouse is like the guy you're like, get out of here, Easthouse.
It's a Wisconsin name.
Noogie time. Yeah, exactly. So Steve says Clint Eastwood. I'm sure you would get a lot of agreement there, Steve. Sherry from Horicon says, good evening, Pete and Conrad. Matt Dillon on Gunsmoke. The original Matt Dillon. Sherry's going pre-Outsiders, the other Matt Dillon. Great one, Sherry. Mark from Prairie Sack says, Long Kiss Goodnight, Gina Davis and Sam Jackson. Yes, that was one of my classic movie picks of the week recently. Gina Davis is so great in that, and Samuel Jackson is hilarious in that. I would call her the badass in that film, and Sam Jackson just so much fun to watch in that movie. And he does kind of save the day a couple times, too. So I guess you could say he's a badass, but I just thought he was hilarious. Tom from New Berlin says, Margot Robbie, Harley Quinn for a female, and Bond, all of them. So he goes James Bond and Margot Robbie and Harley Quinn. Margot Robbie's a good one, too. Great choices, everybody. And then we've got Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids. I have no excuse except that your show is so much fun. My answer is 2000s. He's going, Tyler sticks with a joke. I have a lot of respect for people that do that. And I also like people that beat a joke into the ground and it becomes extra funny. But Tyler says, my answer is 2000s and one A Beaver Odyssey. Hal, the badass ship's computer. Yeah, Hal was a badass. No question about that. Tyler likes that beaver movie. It's a great movie. Hundreds of beavers, folks. If you haven't checked it out, Wisconsin Born and Bred, great film. Crushed at the box office for an indie. Chris on the text line, she's listening in the 773, I assume in Chicago, or maybe she's a transplant. Doesn't matter. Undisputed. Bruce Lee, big screen badass. Great one, Chris. Love Bruce Lee. Barb in Waukesha says, Susan Sarandon and Gina Davis and Thelma and Louise love their encounter with the perverted truck driver. Yes. God, I love this. See, this is why we have a great information exchange, because I forget about a lot of these. Right, Conrad?
Oh, yeah.
He's still with me? He's looking for another Joe Dirt reference he can shoehorn into the conversation. All right, we'll read more of your text when we as the show progresses. Coming up next, all the way from Door County, out there in the suburbs of Green Bay, artist Shane McAdams joins the program to talk about this really cool art festival. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. City of Milwaukee officials say they are not getting federal help for their ongoing lead crisis. That's despite HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s claims of active federal involvement. Local health officials report that their request for CDC assistance was denied and that the only recent federal presence was a two-week visit from a CDC technician for lab equipment. That visit had nothing to do with the school lead hazard response. As local officials handle the crisis alone, they warn that the absence of federal expertise is hampering efforts to protect children. It took a few days, but another twister was confirmed around here. The National Weather Service has verified another tornado in Dodge County from the severe storms last week. That raises the total number in southern Wisconsin to 8. The tornadoes caused major damage in communities like Mayville, Juneau, and Horicon. Dodge County was especially hard hit, with 6 tornadoes confirmed within its borders. Once it does warm up, there will be more activity on the trails. Brittany Merlot has more about being safe when off-roading.
The Wisconsin DNR encourages off-road recreationists to get their ATV-UTV safety cert by taking an approved course. Just last year, 40 people died in ATV-UTV crashes in Wisconsin, with most of them not wearing helmets. Lieutenant Jacob Holzclaw, the Wisconsin DNR Off-Highway Vehicle Administrator, says they want folks to create positive memories and have a great experience on our trails. The primary focus of the safety course is preventing crashes that lead to injuries and death. And if you were born on or after January 1st of 1988, this class is required, but anyone can take it. You can take it in the classroom or online, and it's about 6 hours long.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. When you've got a 38-year-old franchise, even the main character's kids would be too old for this. Even though it's become one of the most tired franchises ever, Lethal Weapon is giving birth yet again to sequel number 5. 69-year-old cranky Mel Gibson will direct the new flick and reprise his role as Martin Riggs, and 78-year-old Danny Glover is back as Murtaugh. Sure, this sounds really uninteresting, but before you judge, let me just say this is not your father's Lethal Weapon. Actually, it is. Speaking of part 5s, not sure Toy Story needed a 3 or 4, much less a 5, but it's happening. And it just got a little funnier, with the addition of new cast member Conan O'Brien. That's right, the former late night host and the MC of the last and next Oscars will play a character called Smarty Pants in the new chapter. Variety reports that the new film sees Buzz, Woody, and Jesse's jobs being challenged by electronics. Toy Story 5 is scheduled to hit theaters June 19th, 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This report sponsored by the City of Marinette, home of the Queen Marinette Run the River Powerboat Races June 7th and 8th. More details at fishonmarinette.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy for tonight, some showers linger in areas of drizzle with lows in the mid-40s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, highs in the mid-50s, and upper 50s for Friday and Saturday, and mostly sunny. It's 46 right now.
Mark your calendars for heart-pumping, exhilarating action at the 2025 Queen Marinette Run the River Powerboat Races in Marinette, Wisconsin on June 7th and 8th. The action will be nonstop as these high-octane boats reach speeds of over 105 miles per hour. Races kick off on Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. and run throughout the day. Free for the whole family, this is the perfect summertime weekend getaway. For more information, head to fishonmarinette.com and click on the events page.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect with people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we continue on the road this week, live from Eau Claire, Wisconsin, home of WCFW, The Tap, talking about conservation and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
With Pete Schwabe. Great to have you here tonight, folks. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we are barreling through this week as we get close to a holiday weekend. Dave on the stream says Reacher is his favorite movie or TV badass. And you could go both, because Reacher, I like both of them. I like that Alan Ritchson is closer to the hero in the book, but I love the Tom Cruise version as well. So that's a good one. And then Chris said, I'm a guy. So... You catch that, Conrad?
Yeah, I think you mess it up every time.
Yeah, I know a girl named Chris who spells it like that, so I made this assumption, Chris, so I apologize for that. But thank you for the text either way. And I will remember now because your last name is different than my friend's, so I have no excuse now moving forward. Okay, Bruce Jarko coming up at 7:05. Bruce is a great actor, and he was good pals with George Wentz, so we'll talk to Bruce about his loss and George Wentz's legacy. But right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. His name is Shane McAdams. He's an artist, and he is also the director, or co-director, I should say.
Co-director.
Yeah. I don't want to leave anybody out. Of the Door County Contemporary Art Fair, which takes place June 5th through the 8th, just down the road here in Door County from downtown Green Bay. Great to have you here, Shane.
Well, I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah. Thank you. So, so you're staying in Door County right now. We've established you live in the Milwaukee area.
Yes.
But you got a little crib up there for the festival?
Crib, that's a funny way to put it. Well, so the fair will be at the Peninsula School of Art, which is in Fish Creek.
Yeah.
And they're kind of an art school. It's been around for a long time.
Right.
And they have a little, I don't know, pied-à-terre, a little ranch house that we can stay in across the way. So we stay there when we have, and if I need nicer accommodation. I think we have an Airbnb for like the, you know, for our war room days. Like when the fair is actually happening, I think we want something with a kitchen island that we can kind of operate from.
Sure.
This is it's a little more Spartan. So
chop some vegetables.
But yeah, I've been going up a lot in my history of like, I started teaching there, teaching classes, and that's how this whole thing kind of emerged through like a teaching relationship with the school. And so I would stay there. And as we go into this, I associate it with teaching and being there in the summer. So I think we'll probably do something a little bit more comfortable.
So you don't live there, but it sounds like you spend a considerable amount of time in Door County with teaching and the art fair and all that.
I do. You know, it's a place, sorry, beklempt here, Pete.
Yeah, no, okay.
All that talk about movies.
Grit and raspiness.
All that talk about movies.
I
wanted into that last segment really bad. So Door County for me, I'm an implant. I came here from Brooklyn. My wife is from Wisconsin. So I went to Door County as this kind of like, what is this weird leisure spot that you guys like to go to? And I always called it like a poor man's Cape Cod, which is, sorry, Wisconsin. But, you know, it was like that. It was cotton candy, caramel, that kind of thing.
Right.
Summer spot. But I went with my kids and I imprinted on it as just a real kind of basic tourist. And as I started teaching there, it got deeper and deeper and deeper in terms of the art thing. So it's evolved from me just kind of strip mining it for my own pleasure to something that I think of as a great site to bring art and culture and kind of connect with people that are up there that want something deeper.
You know, I'm not mad at you, Shane. I just want to get that out right
I feel
away.
You are.
But poor man's Cape Cod. No, I've heard that a lot, and I don't like Wisconsinites say that. I'm like, yeah. Be your own thing. Like, for a while, Milwaukee was the Portland of the Midwest. Be Milwaukee.
It's a terrible thing. You know, sometimes you're doing it. It's like when you have, like, a bad analogy that's kind of crass, but you use it just to get the point across. Right. And I do that because some people are like, what is this thing called Door County? And you go, well, and then people go, oh, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So it's going to be
less pretentious,
pulled taffy and, you know.
It's beautiful. I love Door County, and when I first reached out to you, I thought, oh, this lucky guy gets to live in Door County and run this art fair, and here you are living in Milwaukee, which is also a lovely
town. I told you I live in Cedarburg, which is, I think we may have spoken about it, but Cedarburg, and if you ask Cedarburgians, they would say that it is not a suburb of Milwaukee. It's its own, like, special kind of unique place, and I would agree, as someone that I feel is fairly... unbiased, as someone that just kind of plopped in, parachuted in 12 years ago when my daughter was born. It's a unique place.
Yeah.
It's when I bring people there, they look down the main street that's downtown, and there's a, you know, an old movie theater and a caramel apple shop. People go, that's something. You know, that's not your typical suburb.
No, absolutely not. And I didn't, you know, I've heard really great things about Cedarburg too, but let me ask you this. Like, you say you're from Brooklyn, and I believe you. Is that where you got your art chops, so to speak?
Yeah, it's like where one goes to get their art chops.
Yeah.
A little bit like music. Or, you know, if you were in, you're an actor that wanted to be in film, all roads kind of go through L.A. for that.
Sure.
And New York is a little bit like that, too. And that kind of brings us into, like, why we're doing this fair. You can be an artist from the Midwest and probably make it into the canonical art world, but you still kind of have to get stamped in New York a little bit or LA. And I feel like we're in a world that's kind of decentralizing with, you know, with social networks and
a
lot of things are doing that. Yeah. Talking about films and food is doing that. When I was a kid, like there were people in New York that went to La Grenouille, and then there was me going to, like, Godfather's Pizza, but there wasn't a lot. And now it's like populated all the way in between those two things. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of spaces to go get higher end food that isn't necessarily under a metal dome. And I think that is, it's changing, and we're trying to kind of, like me from Brooklyn coming back here, we're trying to kind of ride that wave or kind of force the issue a little bit, because I don't think we need to be in Brooklyn anymore to do this necessarily, even though probably most of the economic and probably, you know, physical energy is there, but it is changing.
That's interesting. You said pizza, by the way. Was there a Mulberry Street in Brooklyn where you lived?
Yeah, well, not in Brooklyn. That is New York, right? That's Little Italy. Yeah. So, I mean, I would be there.
That got me to migrate from, because I grew up, the first part of my childhood was in Chicago, and I liked the Chicago stuffed, but as I got older, I'm like, I can't eat that.
It's anymore. A lot.
I found Mulberry when I was living in L.A. Somebody brought it. I'm like, this is the best pizza.
Yeah.
It's thin crust. That's New York.
Well, Wisconsin pizza's like that, too.
Yeah.
You know, you can eat it and go out. I think that's why they do it, because it's like pub pizza.
Right.
Like, you can have a lot of Wisconsin pizza and still go out for, like, many nightcap.
You don't need a nap.
I've done, so on Mulberry Street, like, in Little Italy in New York, I remember once we went out, and, you know, they do the courses, like, you know, the end is like the carne, you know, they start out, you got antipasti, and you're expected to go through like four courses. And we went there for like someone's birthday. And we were young, and we were planning on drinking and making it a night. And I was like, well, let's do this right. So by carne, I'm like asleep, you know, I'm like, I have no blood left in my head. It's all in my gut. So,
great stuff. Well, tell us about, the art fair itself. It's the Door County Contemporary Art Fair. What can people expect when they go there? Is there a certain time? Is there a theme, or is there food there? In Wisconsin, we love food at our festivals.
Sure. Well, so this isn't a public radio station, so I'm going to walk back. It tends to be like, you know, the art world is on that kind of crunchier side of the spectrum.
Okay.
And there's a distinction between what would be like an art festival, which would be some like white tents and people selling their wares. This is kind of a thing in the art world. Like, if you've heard of Art Basel Miami or Art Basel, there's these big art fairs, and they're galleries that represent artists. So they would be like build out spaces. So when you go there, it will be 20 galleries in physical spaces that we build out. So it's much more kind of structural, much more like a much bigger lift to make it happen than to just like put out some tables. So it's a little bit, I would say, higher end. I don't, these words are really dangerous because the whole idea is to make it elevated, but not, it's not pretentious. It's approachable.
But open,
you know,
to people. You
open
want
to people,
people.
Sure. Right. I mean, what I'm always trying to do is build connections because I'm a Midwestern kid. I mean, I went to school in Brooklyn, but I'm from Kansas City.
Okay.
And so I grew up, like, I would say humble. Like, I didn't, my parents didn't have art. And then I kind of got, you know, anointed into this like world that was much, it was outside of where I came from. And my desire was to have, like, ultimately have all the kind of sophistication and cultivation of one end, but not be, not turn into, you know, jerks.
Yeah.
You know, and that's always been the problem. Is like, you know, when you walk into a really nice restaurant, it's like, give me good food, but don't give me attitude.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's kind of what it is. So anyway, so we have 20 galleries and they're very, very amazing, respectable galleries from around the Midwest.
Okay.
Kansas City galleries, Nashville, Minneapolis,
is that
Chicago.
How they're differentiated or broken up into?
You'll see like a gallery will say Hair and Nails, which is a great gallery, okay, from Minneapolis. It'll say Hair and Nails, Minneapolis. So gotcha. It'll give you kind of a, you know, a breakdown of the geography. And that was the goal of the whole thing. And that's the goal going forward to do this year after year and make it kind of a gathering and a way to connect Midwest spaces, because the art world is fairly obscure. It doesn't mind being obscure.
Yeah.
So what happens is they tend to not connect very that much because they're trying to be underground. It's like,
yeah,
you know, punk rock.
Okay.
The art world at a certain end of it has a little bit of kind of gritty alternative punk rock spirit. And because of that, they tend to not to get together in like Davos conventions and, you know, exchange,
right,
business cards.
My guest is Shane McAdams. He is the co-director of the Door County Contemporary Art Fair, which runs June 5th through the 8th in Fish Creek. We have some of your paintings I'd like to show for people watching on the stream. Conrad, can we showcase some of your artwork? Would that be okay?
You may. I didn't know we were doing this, but this will be interesting for me to see.
I thought I wanted you to do like the moody artist thing where you go, no, I don't like my stuff being seen.
Do I seem like a moody artist?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. You know what you seem like? I'm looking at your outfit, though, Shane, and I'm going, why don't I wear jackets like that on the air, Conrad? I mean, I wear a nice shirt typically, but would it kill me to dress up a little bit?
Pete, you look very presentable.
Nah, you're just saying that. All right, let's see some of Shane's work on the stream. If you're on the stream, check this out. And, oh, wow. What are we looking at there?
So I use lots of very unnatural materials to make work that kind of produces itself through,
yeah,
processes and procedures. And so that's Elmer's glue doing natural organic things, but it's very unnatural stuff. So,
but what is it on? Is it just like
it's on a panel?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's actually, it's funny because to see it here, it's, you know, it's by my door as I left today.
Oh, it probably doesn't capture. I know we're just on this little stream here, but let's see another one, Con. Oh,
yeah,
that's cool.
See,
I saw that one.
Styrofoam
earlier.
Sprayed with, so I put acetone, which is like nail polish, okay, remover, on a rag, and I let it soak into foam.
Huh.
So it's like lots of really unnatural things to kind of mimic natural processes in the world.
Yeah. So that looks like the bottom of like the ocean floor.
That's what I'm
saying.
First,
yeah, like I think that's
the
so
idea
cool.
is to take something really kind of stupid and unnatural and have someone kind of marvel at it as if it was, you know, the most natural thing in the world.
Who are your influences, Shane? When,
oh,
like,
goodness.
Are you trying to like, do you have a...
My influences are, you know, weird things in the world, like bread, you know?
Okay.
You look at bread and
not
you're like,
other artists?
Yeah, no, but I take a lot from, I'm ecumenical. I try to get lots of stuff from lots of weird places. Talking to people like you. Talking to weirdos. Like, honestly.
Can you do something with this shirt?
Maybe yeah, I probably make that into something.
It's amazing. I've had a couple friends on. I started in stand-up comedy, and a couple of my friends have branched off, and they're, like, selling art now for, like, this, a lot of money. And I'm just, like,
art's
I hate
expensive.
People like that.
Art's expensive.
Can't be successful at two different mediums.
That's some people crazy. Are, you know.
I don't like them. All right, Shane McAdams is here. We're coming right back after a very quick break to talk more about the Door County Contemporary Art Fair, which takes place June 5th through the 8th. This is Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Mark your calendars for heart-pumping, exhilarating action at the 2025 Queen Marinette's Run the River Powerboat Races in Marinette, Wisconsin on June 7th and 8th. The action will be nonstop as these high-octane boats reach speeds of over 105 miles per hour. Races kick off on Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. and run throughout the day. Free for the whole family, this is the perfect summertime weekend getaway. For more information, head to fishonmarinette.com and click on the events page.
Treat yourself to one of our award-winning entrees at the Machine Shed. Come get your hands around one of our famous pork tenderloins, our most popular sandwich, served either deep-fried golden brown or unbreaded and grilled. Or try our roasted, stuffed Iowa chop that is stuffed with a warm apple raisin dressing and glazed with an apple whiskey sauce. Trust me, you won't regret it. This is Jeff Grunder, and we can't wait to have you over for dinner at the Machine Shed. The Machine Shed, I-94 and Highway 164. Iwaki.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had 4 meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top 3 things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The announcement by Republicans that they are removing 612 items from Governor Evers' proposed budget. Free school breakfast and lunches, extra money for PFAS monitoring. We've only scratched the surface of some 600 ideas investing in education, protecting consumers, and every one of those things is going to be taken out this week when Republicans meet to form their own budget.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Get up, Paul. I want to drive them on. When you're feeling blue.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night. I hope I'm saying this right. Malaya? In the 608 says, Cillian Murphy or Adrian Brody in Peaky Blinders. Was Adrian Brody in Peaky Blinders?
I didn't even know
I watched
that.
The first season. He may have joined the cast afterwards, but those are both good badasses. John from Columbia County, he's in the 608. He says, Jesse Wales, real badass. No question about that. There's your Clint Easthouse. Conrad, that's your dad's
Who's
family.
That guy?
Brian from Green Bay says the iceberg in Titanic was a good badass. Very well done. Keep those texts coming, folks. We have a guest in the studio I'm enjoying very much talking to. His name is Shane McAdams. He is the co-director of the Door County Contemporary Art Fair, which runs June 5th through the 8th. And talk a little bit about the Peninsula School of Art. That's pretty cool. You mentioned it before, but are those classes open to people
or...
Is it a club? Is it an actual school?
I teach classes with resin and alternative materials, but they have watercolor classes, jewelry, all kinds of interesting options. And because they teach so many classes, I think when we approached them with the art fair as this kind of strange idea, because this is the first contemporary art fair that's been in Door County. I mean, they have some arts and crafts festivals, but they were really excited because it kind of broadened their offerings and made connections and with different kinds of people, because a lot of people are going to come from Minneapolis and Chicago for this, because people that are art collectors tend to travel for this kind of stuff. So it'll be a different mix of people than, you know, whoever's taking the watercolor classes. But yes, of course, anyone's welcome to take classes there. And the teachers are great. So
you have a, I've heard for years that art, that Door County is a great, has a great artist community. Mm-hmm. Have you found that as an artist? You don't live there, but you spent enough time there. Is it, is that a good place to be if you're an artist?
It does. I mean, it does have a great artist community.
And a beautiful setting.
Of course. Yeah. And it attracts people that, you know, that like kind of sensory aesthetic things, because it's beautiful. It's a great like spirit and atmosphere to make anything in. But it tends to be, I would say, without being disparaging, more decorative, more probably, you know, prone to being representational, which would be like pictures or paintings about things that you see, okay, and less conceptual. Okay. And that when you see contemporary art, it's often, you know, more abstract, maybe using materials differently, different kinds of forms. And so when you come to our art fair, you're going to see things that aren't going to be just a watercolor of like a bay.
Yeah.
You know, so you'll see different things. And my belief is, honestly, in the art world, and this is the problem, I'm trying to kind of do this, you know, broker a deal between these two different art worlds. There's lots of people that like to paint watercolors of, you know, of setting suns. And then on the other side, there's this other thing where they, people like to make really conceptual work, you know, out of found materials. And the truth is, in the art world, we're competing against other entertainments that I think are much less delicate and flatter and blunter and dumber. And I think we all need to kind of be on the same page.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not a world that's big enough and powerful enough to start balkanizing, you know?
Yeah, right.
So that's what I'm always about. Because, I mean, the thing is, I do respect someone that's a great watercolorist, but I also like conceptual art. And the truth is, if you imagine art as being kind of just a general embodiment or reflection of everything you like in humanity, like you meet lots of different kinds of people, you know, funny people, you know, gregarious people, you need people that are super responsible, and you don't go in and write someone off because they're responsible but not funny. I mean, right, everyone serves a purpose. And that's what I think about like a watercolor. Like sometimes I love it, but sometimes I want something really weird because I'm in a weird mood, you know?
Yeah.
And I think instead of looking for something that has meaning or an answer is very like objective, you go, well, it's just like people. I know all kinds of people that give me all kinds of weird things. And as long as that person's authentic and being who they are, you can just appreciate that for that.
Listen, dude, I love being around people that I don't ever know what's coming out of their mouth. Those people, to me, are the true entertainment in life, you know? Yeah. And those are the characters, I mean, as a writer, I want to write about. Maybe you want to paint or build a sculpture or something. Like, I'm totally with you.
I often say, just let me say this, is that art, to me, and art, I mean, across all arts, is the potential to be surprised. Because half the world is trying to make everything predictable. Like Costco doesn't want you to be surprised. They want you, they want to know what you're doing. They want to run algorithms on us. And I'm not some crazy Marxist. That's just the truth.
Sure.
I think like the world would be really crappy if we didn't have supply chains that were getting peanut butter around.
Right.
But you need to save like comedy and vacations and art and all these other things that we value to be totally improvised and unpredictable. Those, that's what art is. The art is the possibility of being surprised by something. And so when you go to an art fair, you're going to get surprised. Hopefully you get surprised. So some of it won't be a good surprise, but sometimes you'll find the exact thing that you want.
Just to clarify, can I still shop at Costco and take advantage of the big, big savings?
I do.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Just, I wanted to get that out there.
I'm not like an anti, you know.
anti-Costco guy. Yeah. All right. So we got about a minute left. Unfortunately, Shane, this has been a lot of fun, but you're an Alexander Payne film when it comes to, or fan when it comes to movies.
Who isn't, though?
I love them. But
what's
give us
the best one?
Oh,
God. I'm a Sideways guy.
I like Sideways a lot. Loved Citizen Root. You know, I probably have to go Election. Because it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Sideways does too.
Yeah. I think Sideways, I use it in my class and I'll be really quick because it's that is perfection for art. This is art, right?
Yeah.
Is perfection a thing, an objective thing, or is it a context? And I'm a guy, I believe in context. Like the right thing in the right place.
You're
like
comparing it to the wine.
The wine. The way like if you have the right wine with the right people and the right sunset, wine is perfect. It's not something you put a 99
in,
you know, and get it absolutely like it's in a vacuum.
All right, we have to do this again so we can draw this discussion out a little bit more. I would love to talk. We could spend a whole segment just on Alexander Payne, and I haven't done that yet, Conrad, so we got to do that. We'll do this again.
Sounds good.
Good luck. Break a leg with the Art Fest.
Thank you, and great pleasure. Thank you, Pete.
My pleasure. All right, that's Shane McAdams. Check out the Door County Contemporary Art Fest, June 5th through the 8th. I'm Pete Schwab, this is Nightlight. We're coming back after intermission with Bruce Jarkel, a fine actor and a good friend of George Wentz, who's going to tell us about his buddy. That's all coming up next. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Turn back now.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Differences between President Trump and South Africa's president came to a head in a tense exchange in the Oval Office as Trump confronted him over whether white genocide is taking place in South Africa. The BBC's Phumza Philoni from Johannesburg says the South African leader did push back on some of those claims.
What was President Ramaphosa's strategy? Well, firstly, it was to present facts, but also avoid being baited into a public spectacle.
A federal judge says the Department of Homeland Security unquestionably violated an order with an alleged migrant flight to South Sudan. Legal analyst Laurie Levinson.
This judge said they were clearly on notice, clearly did not follow the order, and therefore that's contempt of court.
President Trump met again with key GOP holdouts to his massive budget package. House Speaker Mike Johnson is on his side.
I think it will be one of the most consequential pieces of legislation that Congress has ever passed, and it's going to do great things for every American.
CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.